children. They're all pods, all of them.
Whatever you do, don't fall asleep.
I'm afraid!
Don't be afraid!
No. Be afraid. Be very afraid.
Gingy.
Pain has a face. Allow me to show it to you. Gentlemen, I am pain.
I met this 6-year-old child with this blank, pale, emotionless face. The blackest eyes, the devil's eyes.
You think that when you die, you go to heaven. You come to us.
If he can't take a joke, he stinks.
When there's no more room in hell, the dead will walk the earth.
Greetings, Flesh Wound Radio freaks, and welcome to a brand new episode of Flesh Wound Radio. I am the man with a hat and a plan, Daniel Shine, joined as always by Hatless Todd Loya and Hatless Pugs Dread. Gentlemen, how goes your evening?
Namaste. Right of a hella, shiny and chrome.
Yeah.
There you go.
And by the time you watch this, I don't know if you guys had a chance to check it out, but which show was it? UEW Passage to Pain, I believe it was on tonight, the whole show. There we go.
The whole show.
I think every Thursday UEW for the next couple weeks.
All right. UEW. UEW.
You know, we had not actually at least mentioned this on the YouTube shows. Yes, wrestling fans, of course, you can listen to Squared Circle Society, which is our wrestling podcast. But also, you can buy DVDs and Blu-rays of UEW at fleshwoundfeatures.com.
Yeah, we haven't been pimping that out. Why?
We haven't been. I don't know why. Well, if you're a fan of death matches and a true alternative to what you see right now, you should definitely check it out. There's a lot of cool shit.
Speaking of pimping things out.
Yes, patreon.com/fleshwoundfeatures. If you can support us, we very much appreciate it. There's a lot of bonus uncensored content and a lot more on the way on Patreon. And it only starts at a dollar. We're not greedy.
I wish I could remember the pimp's name. I would call you. Oh well,
Julius.
That's what it is.
We will get into Julius tonight. You'll be hearing a lot about Julius. Yes, and our episode tonight is Dead Hooker Society.
Before we get into
I fucked up.
As a big Batman fan, I should have pointed this out on the last episode that you just watched. Hopefully, thank you. There is a Batman clock in Bloodsucking Freaks, and it's in the dart scene, which is Dan's favorite scene, and he never noticed it, but me being a big Batman mark, I was like, hey! And I failed in informing you guys, so I apologize, but when you watch it, look out for it. It's fucking cool.
Imagine Sardu as an Adam West Batman villain.
Easily done.
Can you imagine?
If Batman would have came, oh, dude, game changer. If he would have came in and like saved the day in Bloodsucking Freaks, just kick the door down, and then they battle and do the bat, I would have lost my shit.
Somehow, whack.
Or he would have made Robin as one of his slaves, started whipping him.
Sardu kidnaps Robin.
Fuck,
yeah. And Batgirl. Batman has to.
Oh my god, he kidnapped Batgirl. Oh. This episode writes itself.
Batman has to like deprogram her after all the Stockholm syndrome. What was her name? Barbara?
Yes.
Was that her name?
Yeah. Barbara Gordon.
It's like, remember who you are, Barbara. Remember who you are.
I would have lost my shit. Yes.
I would have lost my shit too. We're so creative. Like we're so much more entertaining. Yeah. Mainstream shit. Absolutely. Giving myself the Barry Horowitz. All right. So anybody with any class will want to not stop listening now.
Yes, yeah, I know. Some degenerate pick tonight's theme.
Yeah.
I think this is an across the board type. Like,
no one argued with me. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, please. I was fist pumping. There you go.
Right there.
Yeah.
Right there. All right. So
they didn't argue. First...
No.
No. Well, I was fumbling to find the Blu-ray to read you guys a synopsis, but
that stands
in yes.
name fumbly.
Fumbly. All right, so this is gonna get bad. So
very bad.
Yes, because we are talking about Very Bad Things, the 1998 film from director Peter Berg, who of course went on to one hell of a career. And all right, so Kyle Fisher has one last night to celebrate his life as a single man before marrying Laura. So he sets out to Vegas with four of his best buddies. But their swanky drug and alcohol-fueled bachelor party goes bust when their stripper cashes in her chips during a deranged sexual escapade. And hers is just the first of the bodies to pile up. The five friends decide to bury the evidence, but fate has a way of not letting the truth stay buried for long. Featuring an all-star cast including Christian Slater, Jeremy Piven, Daniel Stern, Gene Triplehorn, and Leyland Orser, Very Bad Things is outrageous, hilarious, and full of jaw-dropping twists and surprises. Actor-turned-director Peter Berg makes his directorial debut in this savagely funny and unexpected dark comedy. All right, so it's fair to say this is kind of what things would have been like if I knew Todd in his single years. I think something like this would have been bound to happen.
Dan, you strike me as a Jeremy Piven, though. That's
so I've got the highest body count.
I know. That'd be me. I got the Christian Slater slot.
Oh, yeah, he would. Yeah, all right. Spoilers. That's true. There might be light spoilers to this one, just because it is an older film, but we'll try and do our best to dance around them. But all right.
So does that by default make me Favreau?
I don't. Shit, you're more sadistic than anybody in this movie. So I don't know. I don't know if you fit anybody in particular.
Maybe
all right.
The next one.
Maybe the next one I got.
All right, there's nobody else that should go first but Todd on this one.
I disagree. I think Dan should, because he's been weeks upon weeks since the moment this was announced. Let's review it.
I think we should do a watch of it too.
Yeah. But I forgot how fucking funny this one is.
Oh.
And it keeps the momentum going, and like it never has the drop. It just keeps going, and fuck, it is hilarious. And like, I totally forgot about the ending, how we end. It's just fucking awesome.
All right, so I saw this in theaters with my dad.
That's awesome.
And that's definitely not kind of his vibe, so not his kind of movie. And I'm sure that it was disturbing that I was laughing at this one. I don't know what a 13 or whatever I was at the time. And I was laughing my ass off. This is a very dark comedy. This is not Wedding Crashers. This is, you know, this is a very dark.
I wouldn't even call Wedding Crashers. I've never heard that called.
Well, it's a comedy.
Yeah.
Well, it's a wedding. Okay. I'm just saying. You're not.
Well, no, when you're using you should probably use a film that's called a black comedy that's really not. That's why I was like, that doesn't make sense.
Well, you tell him that he's going to say Friday or something.
That's not a dark comedy. This is, I get what you're saying, but nonetheless, if you're looking for something like Wedding Crashers, where it's just a bunch of mad hijinks,
this is better.
And you know, toilet humor. This is not.
And that's your go-to comedy, by the way.
The first wedding-themed one that came to mind, Todd.
Oh, God damn it! Not Wedding Singer.
Nah,
although we do have the connection.
A romantic comedy. Because
they said Adam Sandler was supposed to play
Piven.
Piven, there we go.
Yeah, he was initially attached. I can see. I am too, like, it would have been interesting to see it, but I can kind of see that might have been an intimidating role at that time because he was just huge by 98. I mean, what was Billy or Happy Gilmore was, I think, 95. So I can kind of see him saying maybe this might be a mistake to take a risk on this one right now.
Mark cannot be the lead.
I think he would
have been. Even though it's an ensemble,
yeah,
there's a clear lead, and that wouldn't have been him.
I could have seen him in the Favreau role, possibly, but
he'd be too Adam Sandler.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, that's the problem. He couldn't.
You think so?
He couldn't.
And I love Adam Sandler. I think he's fucking great. But mm-hmm.
Yeah, oh, he is.
He was a few years out from Punch Drunk Love, so yeah, it would have been a different Sandler.
I think it was like just too risky at that time, and I mean, this is like he's still doing like Waterboy and stuff like that in this era.
You know what? He's still doing Waterboy. Let's be real.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Uncut Gems, you know, he's kind of.
Other than that, yeah, he's got his two standouts, but he still does that style when he's doing comedy, basically.
You got to pay the bills.
I'm not hating
on him. Anyway. Oh, no, no, not at all. So this film really centers around a bunch of shitty fucking people who just keep digging themselves deeper and deeper and deeper. And I love that type of humor. Like Todd said, things just keep escalating. They can't catch a break. It's just hilarious, some of the shit that goes down in this. Pugs, you've compared yourself to Christian Slater. That's who you think you would be.
We had a group of like five friends and we went to Vegas and jokingly like, oh, who would we all be? And I'll be goddamn if those character type archetypes did not match us perfectly. We got this one dude who would totally snort coke and jump on the table. You won't, Todd, you've met him. Dan, I don't think you have, but yeah.
It's okay.
Very accurate. Scary accurate.
Somebody we went to.
I think I know you're talking about.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I would not incriminate my friends.
Because
so.
Yeah. Dan would be the Daniel Stern.
He would. I think I think he's both of them, Jeremy Piven and Dan. So I think he fucks up. He's gonna be like, "You're smoking us out."
No, because if I'm doing it with everyone I know, I'm putting Caesar in the Piven role.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
To accidentally kill a hooker when he shouldn't be a hooker. That's the only part I can think. And that's why.
So you picture Caesar like walking out like with the blood and like that stone face.
Yeah. And then because you didn't kill the hooker, Dan, you're going to fucking be like cracking because you don't want to deal with someone else's dead hooker.
No. Yeah, I see it. Just like Christian Slater says, there's a silver lining and I see it.
But I guess that's right.
I feel this is how everybody in this movie really is.
I quote this movie all the fucking time, not even realizing it. Like, this movie is just ingrained to me. Like, I think the other day I yelled at you guys, didn't have any fucking lizards, and no one knew. So, fucking, I laughed so fucking hard. Now, I didn't see it in theaters like you. Sucked. I've been trying to see it at like a throwback theater, like the New Beverly or Egyptian, but they haven't been playing it, or if they had, I was busy. So hopefully, when this shit goes back to normal, I can go see it in big screen because I think, with diehard fans, because this has a big cult following, but for the cult following it has, it's still underappreciated. And I think everyone should see it, but I think that'd be fun to go just quote the movie with everybody. So fucking guys! Fucking guys!
It deserves to be rediscovered. And why the fuck does Daniel Stern not work more often? I mean,
He's got home money. He's all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think he made a lot of money off of some of the things he did. But, man, I want to see Dan. He did a sitcom not long ago, I believe. So he's not, like, done. But
I don't remember that. But
I think it just failed. But I seem to remember it.
In the car ride, in the very beginning, it's even lighthearted when he's like, oh, you're being cheap. You know, go ahead, say what you want to say. It's you.
Oh, yeah.
It's not, yeah, you could not make this one. This is another one, like we talked about Bloodsucking Creeks on the last show. No way you could make this. Not as a Hollywood film, certainly. And that's what makes it special. I think this movie will always be special. And some of the humor, like I said, some of the funnier bits they're not... Not the over the top stuff, really.
Toes.
Just the scene.
I got toes.
The scene where, like, Daniel Stern is just driving with his family, and he's going to, like, the gas station, and he's like, everything is like freaking him out. that was funny. Like, they didn't have any fucking wizards.
Dude, what's wrong with you? What the hell's wrong with you? Oh.
The dude's like looking at his car and he's just sitting there like
minivan. Yeah. Fucking internet. You fucking murderer. Oh my god. Oh, yeah. I can recite it. I love this fucking movie. Like unapologetically.
When Christian Slater's trying to shut Jeremy Piven up. I killed my brother. I killed my brother. Leyland Orser, I also want to throw out there. Fantastic actor that's been around forever, but he's never, like, he's rarely in, like, featured roles like this, and he always slays it. I mean, he stole the show in Seven just being in it.
And then I fucked her. Yeah. It's not gonna make one.
He married Gene Triplehorn, I believe, off of this movie. This is how they met. They're still married, I believe, with kids.
That's awesome.
So, very bad thing. I think they are both able-bodied. For now. I mean, oh, man. This one, some of Christian Slater's rah-rah speeches, too. Were just so.
Well, remember, he just got through with that class, so that helped him. Like, their new bullshit, self-help bullshit.
Yeah.
I do think Peter Berg knocked it out of the park for him being a first-time feature. But also, you have John Favreau there just to help you along. Like, and look what he's done. He's responsible for the fucking MCU. So, yeah.
One of the biggest directors in Hollywood now. Yep. Absolutely.
And The Mandalorian. Man.
Oh, yes. Okay, and The Mandalorian. He's a big name. I think Very Bad Things is the best thing he's ever done. But, yes, big name.
That's fine by me.
Did you pop at the dick-biting scene? That was probably, like, the one thing my dad even laughed at when we saw it in theaters. I can't quote it word for word, but I remember anytime I come home from a movie, like, my mom will ask, you know, oh, how was the movie? And I remember... My dad is like, it wasn't no comedy. It's like, it was just like people killing each other for 90 minutes.
And that's where you go, he's wrong, Mom. My side.
It was hilarious.
Yeah, see, he popped for the dick fighting scene. But yeah.
Probably been there.
We don't have. That's fucked up. God, get that fucked up image in my head. Thank you, Bugs.
His pants were on.
Oh, man. And then the car scene. Well, there were several car scenes. The kill scene was just like, holy. And he's like, why did you just veer off? I mean,
fucking minivan. Dude, when he pushes, when Favreau, like, just shoves fucking something about Mary, Cameron Diaz, when they're arguing, she's like, he finally had enough. I'm like, yeah, do more of that.
This one for her, Cameron Diaz was becoming a massive star at this point. So it was
already after The Mask. And, oh my God.
Yeah. She was hitting her peak. I think it was a little before Charlie's Angels.
It was
too far before. And then that the ending, which we won't spoil, was so fucked up and funny. This one I really think is a masterpiece. Again, it is for a very specific group of people, but I think now
if you're watching us, would have a broader audience. Totally for you.
If you can handle us, yes, it probably is for you. And I think it's aged very well because, like I said, you're not going to see a bunch of very bad things. I've seen films that have treaded somewhat similar ground, but it's hard. Well, shit, we're going to talk about one. But it's always, like, watered down. Like, they just can't go to the same direction that this film goes. It is a must-see. And I will say, in terms of the Blu-ray, definitely watch the interviews. I laughed my ass off with...
Daniel Stern?
Not Daniel Stern. Well, yeah, Daniel Stern, who had some great stories about it. But Jeremy Piven even references his Me Too issues, where he's like, yeah, you know, I think because of this film, everybody tends to associate me with the roles I play.
Ari fucking Gold from Entourage. He's the man.
Yeah.
Are you on Entourage?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I have not watched the whole thing, believe it or not, and I don't know why.
Because you don't watch TV, Dan. We know.
I even like the movie. It just felt like one big three-parter episode.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But yeah, I am happy to say grab the Blu-ray because there is a lot of insight. Daniel Stern's got some funny stories. Jeremy Piven has, and there's also a commentary track by the critically acclaimed podcast that's also very well worth checking out. This came at a time where late 90s, like specifically right at the close of that decade, there were a lot of unique films that kind of slipped under the radar theatrically that blew up later, like Big Lebowski. And this is one of them. This is one of them. It, you should definitely check it out. All right. I'm going to try it. Five.
Is that what you're reading it?
I think that's what he's doing. Okay.
I am also a fucking, I want to give this a 10, but it's, yeah, five.
Five.
God damn it. No, Dan's ruining. I know. He's just like out of nowhere. He's just like, oh man, fucking retard.
Five. Yeah.
So what does that get?
There we go.
Yeah, this what? Is fucking big. Flesh Wound approved. You get your fucking ass to see it if you have not. And you're welcome in advance and let us know how much you liked it.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah, check it out. Check it out. 90s must. All right, so our next film
post chat, Todd.
Is
keep going, Dan.
What?
Post chat. Keep going, Dan.
Oh, okay. Our next film of the evening treads very similar ground and came out right before. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I want to say this was, I think I saw it on like HBO. And I don't know if it was an original production, but I want to say this might have been an HBO original. And that is 1997's Stag from director Gavin Wilding. And bear with me while I pull up the description here because I had a minor botch here on this one. All right, so hold on. All right, there we go. I got it. I apologize for the technical issues. All right, so Victor Malik returned to his home and found out that all of her friends have arranged a surprise bachelor stag party for him.
All of his friends.
Two strippers were hired to cheer up the party. However, when some of the men accidentally kill one of them, they are left to face the consequences of their actions. All right.
Dan,
so
you woke the movie. You said her friends. You meant his friends.
His friends. I'm sorry. Okay.
Ruined it.
So
this is not Rough Night. Which should have been our top.
Yeah. No, I didn't hate Rough Night. It's definitely not very.
I haven't seen it,
but it was it was funny.
It would definitely fit in with this and Very Bad Things.
Yeah.
Just
Very Bad Things.
No, I didn't say it was going to be as good as. I said it would fit in this like theme.
All
right. You know what I mean? It would actually fit in better than our last movie, but.
Okay.
Yes. All right. So. Stag is somewhat obscure. I don't know the history if this was meant for theatrics.
I want to say it was a 90s Showtime movie. It was definitely a movie for cable.
Yeah, with a great cast, actually, that I wanted to point out. Mario Van Peebles, who I think is very underrated. John Stockwell. We got John Hansen, who everybody will remember as the host
Skunk Boy.
Yeah, all sorts of stuff. Ben Gazzara, Andrew McCarthy, Kevin Dillon, Jerry Stiller. And I want to talk a little bit about Jerry Stiller because I wanted to believe that this was the same character he played on King of Queens.
And that's who lived next door.
Yes. And this is like before he moved in with Leah Remini and Kevin James. That's what I want to believe. I choose to believe that this
is your headcanon.
Yeah. I wanted an episode of King of Queens where maybe he referenced, it's like, this one time I had a neighbor that killed this hooker. Yeah. So anyways. What did you guys think? This one was obscure. I could barely even remember
This was definitely the one I threw out there because this is one that very clearly was one I remembered. And I actually am a really big fan of this one. So I don't know. I kind of want to let you guys go first to see where you're at.
All right, Pugs, what did you think?
Well, it has a big hill to climb. For me, it didn't quite get there. It was just like, oh, this is funny. But the version I want, because I saw Stag before I revisited Very Bad Things. And the version I want, I was like, I could just be watching that and have way better time. And not to shit on this movie, because it's funny. But I do think you should watch this before Very Bad. Oh, fuck, I don't even know. Very Bad Things.
They were going for more serious on this one. But I get why you say that.
And I think there might have been too many cast members for the show. Although to have a parachute party, that makes sense. it was cool. But there is definitely room for improvement. But I'm glad I watched it. And the TV movie makes total sense.
Yeah, well, Showtime. So there is, R-rated material, but it does feel like a 90s TV production. Definitely. Nonetheless, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just, any humor in this one is pretty much like right at the beginning. Once, the stripper, the hooker is killed, it kind of good. See, that's the thing for me with this movie. It doesn't totally settle into a specific tone. It's interesting, but it never really like fires on all cylinders and lives up to the potential of the premise. Jerry Stiller is always very welcome presence here. I kind of wanted more humor from it because it was like Jerry Stiller. And the fact that he wanted to go party after all this shit had broken down, I think there's some funnier things. Like, I wanted him to somehow get in that house and figure into it a little bit more. I've met Andrew McCarthy, who is a super nice guy, kind of gone hippie now, wrote a book. He loved my mom and just
go mom.
Super, super cool dude. Thought my mom was really cool was his words.
I want to say maybe it's easier for me because when I saw this, there was no Very Bad Things.
Possibly.
Yeah, it was a year.
And I actually thought they were doing a similar thing in that to this because this is the, you know. What?
You got reversed, so we have it. Yeah. Okay.
So.
Yeah, it's definitely worth a watch. But
if you've had a bachelor party, you'd get it.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
And I was just thinking I had a dead whore at mine, and he just keeps bypasses it.
I've never, like,
I will tell you this. This movie and Bachelor Party lied to me.
There's no dead girls. Didn't have a There's no donkeys.
Caesar didn't kill a donkey and put it on an elevator.
He probably did, but it was no way involved with me. That was just him on the weekend.
There you go.
That was when he wasn't out being a interspecies erotica performer.
Are you saying he fucks donkeys? He's not on the show to defend himself, Todd. How do you do that?
Then he should watch.
Poor Caesar. Yes, poor Caesar. You should listen and see.
Or listen. Who fucks donkey? Oh wait. That's kind of that's at the robot.
He imagines it's talking in the Eddie Murphy voice.
So you got it on books.
Yes.
I mean, this is obviously very similar in the sense that they do something bad and things escalate. I call it a thriller, but it's not really a thriller. It's
very 90s. It's very 90s thriller.
Kind of, yeah, but it's not.
It's very 90s thrill.
But does it thrill, though? That's my only issue.
That's like saying, is a horror film scary? Not all of them are. It's definitely, the genre it is a thriller from that era. And
I was expecting a comedy. Mm-hmm. So I might have had the wrong mindset.
Maybe.
I could see, like, I feel like unless you're nostalgic for that time period and movies like this coming out, this is an era too where a lot of this is not out because this is like DVD had just become a thing. It really,
this one's out. There is a Canadian Blu-ray. There's an There was an Echo Bridge Blu-ray. It's out of print now, but you can still find it. But
yeah, Echo Bridge usually can. But a lot of stuff like this is kind of lost time right now, and I enjoyed it. I'm making it sound like I didn't enjoy it, but I do feel like this is a very specific audience. I could see like somebody now going and watching this and thinking like, huh, okay, fine, I'll never watch it again. So great cast. Andrew McCarthy plays a great sleazeball in this. Kevin Dillon looks like he probably has in fact killed a couple hookers. Not saying he did, but he looks like it. Todd thinks Matt Dillon.
Oh yeah, I think Kevin. I think he's killed up some of his brother's hookers.
I agree.
I sense a team up movie happening. No, I'm sure they're both kill, great people.
Rape and kill Cameron Diaz. That'd be awesome.
Oh Jesus Christ!
That is the fucking. There's something about Mary we should have got.
Kevin.
Now it's called
I Did Something
Where
Bad.
The hell is Mary?
Right. Mary who?
There we go. That's simple.
For me, I give this one a 2.5. Whoa. It's average. It might rank a little higher for me, but yeah, it's a 2.5. I don't see a lot of people getting replay value out of this. I probably liked it a little more, but that's my rating.
Okay, right on. I'm a 3.5. I thought I didn't like it. I thought I was going to be the one that liked it the least, but wow, okay. Yeah. I'm just shocked. Not shaming. Shocked.
Yeah.
Do I have to like every Dead prostitute movie? I'm not a pervert. Okay.
It's kind of.
Just because
you had the word movie? No. But the other one, yeah, you totally would.
My nostalgia and love for this says 4. But my reality, I'm closer to Pugs where it should be, but I'm going to go with 4. Because
I definitely had a good time.
Absolutely.
It's worth the one-time watch. And like I said, if you are somewhat – it is a good double with Very Bad Things because, again, very similar film. All right. So this one, I don't think there was a lot of surprises with our opinions of the movies tonight, but we are going to cover one that is quite obscure that I'm curious to get your guys' takes on. And that is the 1986 film The Night Stalker from director Max Kleven. And this is a very small synopsis, but kind of sums it up. And it follows a tough homicide cop played by veteran actor Charles Napier is assigned to track down a serial killer who is murdering prostitutes. Short but sweet. It kind of covers it.
And real quick, in case anyone does want to see this and wants to see it before I review, it is on YouTube. How legitimately, I don't know. But the full movie is up there on YouTube. Yes. Just look up The Night Stalker 1986.
There you go. We didn't post
There's
it.
There's no so, Richard yeah, Ramirez relation, in case you were wondering, because I was.
No.
That was early on.
No, I... Yeah, no, this... When did Ramirez get nabbed again?
It was before this, and I actually think that's where this started its life as, and then it just became what it is.
Oh, okay.
Was I the only one that was getting Cobra vibes? And also, like, why doesn't this fucker just call Rambo? Isn't that his friend?
Yes. Well, it's not his friend. He's the one who pisses off.
But like, he knew him. So.
Yeah,
you're right. But like, before that incident, they were cool.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. And this would have been. Well, we'll just say it was before that. Well, if that's the case, he should have called Troutman and got Rambo. That would have been a good Rambo 3. Better than the one we got.
I like Rambo 3, but yes, you're absolutely right.
It was cool seeing Charles Napier in this.
Underwear?
You're kind of used to it. There you go. Probably how we're all waking up right now during this quarantine. He had to be at least 50.
I looked it up.
He did this.
I was like, it was one of those things where it's like, do they just look older back then, or is he 50? Yeah, so I looked it up and he was 50. I was like, all right.
It's got to be both.
Yeah.
I was like, it's 7 years. Am I going to look like grizzled. Charles Napier? But
you were grizzled back then.
But I did say my spirit animal, so.
It was cool seeing him in a lead role.
Yeah.
Because that was fairly rare.
All I know is I want to go with him to the burger joints now.
Yeah.
All right, I want to talk about that. So this movie
being a Batman nerd, if he would have played Commissioner Gordon, that'd have been fucking awesome. Right?
Yeah. It's Riddler with the lawn chair. So yes, this one is 80s insanity, 80s B-movie insanity at its best. It plays as an action film. It's also sort of a supernatural slasher in a weird sort of way. You've got Robert Zadar, who, of Maniac Cop fame, who is perfect as this killer. And
you broke that jaw?
And yeah, oh God, you would have to hit him with a sledgehammer. He was another one that we could have had in a movie back in the day if we really wanted, because he was not expensive towards the end of his life. But so anyways, I laughed my ass off when we see the, you know, the falling off building stunts, and we even see the crash pad pop up at one point. To his hilarious fight with this asshole biker who just kind of comes in and starts eating everybody's food for no reason. And we get Julius. All right, I'm going to say this right now. I love Julius the Pimp. I fucking love Julius the Pimp. Everybody, even the heroes in this are basically assholes. I mean, it's... All right,
Antonio.
Yes, there was some very politically incorrect movie. What did you think before I go on and on? This is so fun.
Go for it, Bugs.
All right.
Bugs.
Again, I got mad Cobra vibes. So, and I really, spoilers, that movie is pretty cool. So, I was sucked right in. Like, it just, I felt very fucking 80s, so that was easy to transport me into the mood. Fucking seeing Maniac Cop be a weirdo, not a stretch, so I dug it. And everyone's got a big fucking chin in this movie. Yeah. Dude, that weirded me out. Like, everyone's so punchable. It's fun. And Julius, I think he needs his own spinoff, like how he got there, like maybe a prequel. A pimp prequel would be fucking awesome. definitely a thrill ride.
You know what I loved was when Zadar was zeroing in on Julius, and he just goes, "I despise the bitches just like you." I hope. I don't know who could grab it. Vinegar Syndrome, maybe MVD. I don't know who, but this needs a Blu-ray release. This is so fun. And then the random, I call it like the Highlander moment when, you know, he kills somebody and then like the thunder and everything. I feel like it's like Todd killing like Weinstein. It's like, I have the power. it is. Whoever was involved in making this, it had to involve a shit ton of cocaine. And
onset.
Yeah. And who has like a giant like hooker birthday party? Like, where does that happen? Oops. Just like, yeah, it was just, I don't know. It was, and that the cops randomly go to hang out. I mean, it was just, weird. And one-liners. I love it when the guy falls off the roof and then Napier's like, "Well, that's one runner who won't make the Olympics." It was so good. Todd, what did you think? I'm assuming you fucking love this. I don't know how you put it.
Yeah, I did. It's been years since I've seen it, so I was, when we decided to do the dead hooker theme, it's like, well, this one doesn't fit, but it still kind of does. And now that we're talking about doing our pseudo slasher show, it actually fits better with that. But if it wasn't for this, we wouldn't have got inspired. I fucking love this one. I forgot how much I do. And that's 99% Charles Napier in this and just being Charles Napier.
Don't steal his whiskey. Right. That should have been on.
Oh, and then where they're chasing the guy and he's like, "Where's my gun?" You're drunk. I was dying.
And it was funny seeing like a 50-year-old drunk Charles Napier like seducing like hookers, and it was pretty funny. I should also point out Joan Chen plays one of the hookers. She went on to even now still have a pretty solid career. Oh, and then the pimple dick one line or two. The dialogue in this was just so funny. But Julius, who does steal the show in this? Because Napier's the man, but Yeah, I wanted something. Like, I want, like, Julius to have gone to prison and then, like, somehow have to team up with Napier and, like, Night Stalker, too. I don't know. Like, somehow Zadar gets brought back and, yeah, it's like they have to work together.
His soul, like Child's Play, and he becomes the Grim Sleeper or something like that.
There you go. There you go. It's just new guy, and then they CGI his chin out. It would, it would be cool. So yeah, and it's very lively. I mean, it works. The action, the finale was action packed, a lot of fun, and oh man, and there's so many fucking action heroes called Stryker too. There's even a movie called Stryker.
There is.
So Napier ranks among the best strikers, and another one you just have to see. It's a movie of a bygone era that will never be made quite like this again. Just won't. So, oh man. If you are into this type of movie, this one's pretty close to a classic. I laughed my ass off. It worked as an action film. Tons of memorable characters, including the partner. And I give it 4.5. It's a hoot. I love it.
I'm going 4. Solid movie, solid time. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, actually.
Again, acquired taste.
You're a little bit of, yeah, because a 4 is like horrible.
No, not him. I'm just also pointing out my rating's high, but it's still an acquired taste.
I'm actually with the Pugs. I'm a 4. But I do really enjoy this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, all right. So that's all we have for you today in terms of movies. I've already hyped Flesh Wound Features Patreon page. Please support us. Lots of cool stuff there and coming. And as well as be sure to join the Horror Cartel Flesh Wound Radio group, or we'll cut off your fucking head. Like the Flesh Wound Features Facebook page. And be sure here on YouTube, like and subscribe to our video or to our page and or whatever
and share. You
call it. And like and share.
Spread the word
subscribe.
Out. Like
yeah. there you go.
Could've been.
Hopefully we don't have that.
I would say that, but here. That's a little too serious.
Yeah. we're more like the class. It might burn when you pee, but you'll be okay.
You might even enjoy it.
You might even enjoy it. So, yes, do all that. Oh, where do I go from? I'm really selling us well, aren't I? Yes, like, subscribe, Flesh Wound Features on YouTube, obviously, if you're listening to
follow
the audio
us on Twitter.
Version elsewhere. Follow us on Twitter, yes. Todd was kind enough to get me on the Twitter. I have not done much of anything there yet, but yes,
can,
follow.
At least we can tag him now.
Yeah.
There you go. Flesh Wound Features on Twitter. Flesh Wound Features on the Twitter. So check that out. And yeah, I think I plugged everything. Oh, and fleshwoundfeatures.com. Check out the eBay stores, and we'll have merch coming hopefully soon. It's a lot of things are getting done faster now that we're all at home. So, yeah.
Yeah.
That's all
stay
I.
Stay safe. Stay clean. Wash the blood off your hands.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Don't have sex
like
with kids. Can't stress that enough.
Yeah. Don't do it.
All right, guys. On that note,
we're out.
Yeah, naughty. Sexy boys. Yeah.
It's not a sexy voice when Dan Rock's song.